Sat Sri Akal, Assalamu Alaikum, Namaste, and welcome. You are listening to the sixth show of A Woman's World. My name is Purvi Shah, and I'm excited to bring you a show about women's dreams and challenges facing our community. Though a majority of our world and leaders in our communities and homes, women's voices are often unheard. This show aims to change that. Each week, we delve into a new story of women making dreams come true. We hope to tap new experiences and create a ground for dialogue as well as change. As a poet and changemaker myself, I'm helping to create this ground. You can read more about my work in writing, including my book of poetry, Terrain Tracks, at my website, purvipoets.net. That's purvipoets.net. Or follow me on Twitter at purvipoets. Our prior shows have focused on sexual violence, dance, improv, innovative community publishing, as well as immigration reform. Today, we're going to focus on work with youth in our community, and I'm excited to have you all with me as I speak with Azra Naqvi, who is the Administrative Program Associate at SAYA, which is South Asian Youth Action. Welcome, Azra, to A Woman's World.
Hi, Burri. Thank you so much for having me. It's such a pleasure.
It's great to have you. So I wanted to hear, how long first have you been working with youth, and what drew you to SAYA to begin with?
Sure. So I actually very recently started working with youth. Within the last year, I started at SAYA in August. And I've always had an interest in youth organizations and youth work. In my undergraduate, I went to Hofstra. I studied political science. And in my junior year, I interned for Suffolk County Family Court. And it was such a great experience, but it was also difficult. It was a difficult experience for me because you would see these children come in and they were in really dire situations. And by the time they had gotten there, it was too late, really.
I mean, when you say dire situations, what kind of situations were those?
So a lot of the cases that came through family court were neglect cases, abuse cases. And so the parents were being put on programs to rehabilitate, basically. They were being taken away from their families. And it was really difficult to watch. And I eventually wanted to go into law school and go into public service and do something in that realm. And when I saw what was going on, I realized that this is not where I need to be. I need to get there before all of this happens.
Interesting. That's amazing to kind of realize that you want to prevent, you know, this from happening in the first place. Did you talk to any of the children as you were working there as an intern, or did you just witness and feel just overwhelmed by that?
Yeah. So actually I wasn't able to directly talk to them because I was working with the judge. And so a lot of it was mostly them coming in and the lawyers kind of working with their cases and all, but a lot of them were younger and they didn't have a voice. They couldn't say anything and they couldn't describe what they were going through, but it was very difficult to watch. And, you know, my father also is in mental health. And so he's done a lot of social work. And so I've seen that growing up, and I know what kind of a difference that makes when you have someone who can support you and engage you and empower you at a younger age and give you that opportunity.
That's amazing. So how did you stumble upon SAYA then after that experience?
So I have known about SAYA for quite some time. I have family members that have worked at SAYA when I was maybe in my teens, and that was a different time for SAYA, you know, and now after I graduated, I have also family friends that have worked at SAYA, and I started hearing about the work they were doing, and I was impressed, to be honest. I love the idea of reaching out to kids who are not only high schoolers, middle schoolers, also kids who are in elementary school, and helping them, guide them, give them academic support and college guidance and just all kinds of resources that you know, they would be able to access.
That's amazing. I mean, I guess one of the questions that people might ask, given the perception of our community, is, you know, why do South Asian youth need a place like SAYA? I mean, don't folks get a lot of that mentoring at home, or just with the immigrant ethic of you have to work really hard and get straight A's?
Yeah, you know, you would think so. I think that a lot of times when I discuss what I do, people are shocked, you know. They don't think that this is something that we need to be engaged with, you know. They think that South Asian youth are high achieving, come from, you know, parents that are doctors, lawyers, engineers. They don't realize there's a large group of immigrants that have come over and struggle. And the youth they have a hard time. They struggle academically. And sometimes it's hard for them to bridge the divide between the generations. And so they kind of need that safe space.
So I'd love to hear, what are some of the generational struggles that the youth display or talk about?
I'm not surprised you're asking me that, because a lot of times we find that youth come in and they have a hard time telling their parents about sexual experiences or girlfriends or even boyfriends, or, you know, sometimes they don't know who to turn to, really. And they don't have that kind of a relationship with their parents, honestly, to talk to them about it.
And I suppose, especially when they start having relationship problems, if you can't talk about your relationship, it's hard then to talk about the problems that you might be having in a relationship.
Absolutely. And, you know, a lot of parents tend to be, I would say, more strict. And they have a hard time telling them about simple things, even their grades in school. You know, they're very, they're intimidated in some ways. And I think that they're looking for someone to tell them that it's okay, you know, and that we can help you through this, or, you know, that there is a solution.
So how, just on a practical level, I had a question. How old are the youth that come to SIA programming? Like, what's the age range?
So actually it varies. We're in middle schools, as well as the youth that come to our Elmhurst Center are high school age. So we have 9th through 12th grade. And we are in elementary school as well as middle school. So it ranges.
That's amazing. I mean, that's really the spectrum. So have you had youth that have started with you in elementary school programming and then gone on to the high school programming as well?
Yeah, we actually have. We have some students that are in one of our schools in South Ozone Park at PS 124. And they've gone on to MS 124 and eventually gone on to different high schools and then visited us again at the center. And SIA's been around for 16 years. You know, we're
amazing.
In our 17th year this year. So they do come back, so which is great.
I mean, it's really amazing to think that you get to follow somebody's journey into becoming an adult and to see how they've grown.
Evolution. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of times we have alumni that come back, you know, students who graduate, go off to college, come back and talk about their experiences and how SIA has helped them. They come back and they talk to our SIA current youth, which is really a really great experience. We had an alumni lunch recently and they got to get together, talk about what dorming is like, what it was like to leave home and not eat, you know, like, home cooking and all of that stuff. Yeah.
It's all about the food at the end of the day.
Yeah.
It's so true. I mean, I think, I'm sure, you know, that feeling, I know when I was thinking about going off to university, that anticipation of going somewhere new, but then also leaving home is such a tough thing to think about too.
Absolutely. And I think that transition is really hard to make. And we try and make that a little bit easier. We guide them. We take them on college trips. We show them the dorms. We show them what it's like to interact with professors. And we set up tours with multicultural clubs so that when they get there, they can set up a network, a support system outside of home and outside of SIA.
So what are some of the other programs that you have in addition to, so there's a lot of work that you do around mentoring and school and then, you know, conversations that they might be having, or issues, social issues or issues around their parents and families. What are some of the other programs that you offer?
So we actually have a young men's program. It's called Desi Men's Society, and it is basically high school aged, young Desi men, and they meet about 3 times a week. They come together and they work on, you know, community service projects. They recently took kids from a homeless shelter to a Broadway play, took them out to dinner. It's more about this brotherhood, this unity, spending time kind of developing that group dynamic and really giving back to the community. So that's a really great program. It has been really wonderful. I've noticed such a change in our youth, and they come in and they have friends, you know, and they welcome other youth, which is really great to see. And then we have...
Well, it seems like in that program, what struck me is just also this kind, this education of young boys and men to be of service and to mentor others and to build their own character. And sometimes, you know, often within our families and families across the world. You know, young boys are like, I'm the king of the family. Yeah. And I don't have anything that I need to do. And it's great that you have this model where really it's about being a mentor and developing your own character and giving to the community.
Yes, it gives them a sense of responsibility of being in our, you know, of being an active member of the community. You know, what can you give back, really? And we also have a program called Desi Girls, which has been one of our really successful programs. It's phenomenal. We recently have a school. We have a school at PS 230 in Brooklyn because we've expanded to Brooklyn as well.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, which is very exciting just this past year. So we're really, really happy. We're in Morrow High School as well as PS 230. Mm. And they did an anti-bullying campaign, Desi Girls there. And, you know, they went around and they did assemblies and they spoke to their fellow peers about bullying and the effects of that and anti-bullying and what we can do to change the, you know,
so wait, can you tell me a little bit about, in terms of bullying, I mean, what kind, I know that there's always peer pressure and always, you know, kids can be mean, frankly.
Sure, sure.
But is there a specific type of bullying that South Asian girls and boys face?
I wouldn't necessarily say there's a specific type of bullying. I think that that's an issue that we see across the board right now. It's a youth issue, really. And when they get together and they talk about it in these large group settings, it mostly is about, you know, being a youth or being a girl or dating a certain guy and it not going a certain way. And you know, like, just the dynamic of being a youth in New York City. I think that's just one of those issues that's on the forefront right now.
Interesting. I mean, I guess I'm just curious, like, given post 9/11, there's been backlash in terms of various faiths in our community. And I just wonder if girls who might wear hijab or young boys who wear a turban or patka have like faced bullying on those grounds or expressed that at least in terms of your group.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that does come up. I think that it comes up often. And I think that it comes up with all of the other issues that come up. You know, I wouldn't say that it's the sole issue. I think that, I have to say, it's turning. The tides are sort of turning, which
That's
is a good thing, I think. But at the same time, I think overall, it's an issue that comes up often. Sure.
And so the Desi Girls, in terms of their anti-bullying work, what were some of the strategies they suggested or some of the solutions they offered?
So I think that a lot of it was standing up and having the courage to say that we're not okay with this and that I personally have been bullied before and putting a face to it, really. You know, they made t-shirts and they stood up in front of their class in an auditorium and went around from classroom to classroom discussing the issue and opening up a dialogue, which is at this point, I think, absolutely necessary and something that we just don't see enough.
Do you feel like you had personal experiences in your youth that made you also, I mean, I know you talked a little bit about your intern experience in sort of a professional capacity, but do you feel like yourself growing up as a South Asian youth here, right, made an impact?
Yeah, you know, actually, I grew up in a very interesting community. I grew up very far out east on Long Island, which there were no South Asians, really. And so my sister and I and my brother were like, 3 out of like a couple thousand, you know? And so it was really difficult. And, you know, 9/11 happened and it was a rough time. And I got a lot of comments and people
what
saying
kind
things
of comments and would people say?
I mean, I remember being in a class and someone saying something to the effect of, you know, it's your people that did this, you know? And at the time, I have to say, I've been so blessed to have grown up in a family that was so supportive and so I didn't feel the weight of that comment. But now I think now that I work with youth, I'm a little bit more sensitive to things like that. So at the time I really didn't, maybe I was oblivious to it. Maybe I was just too comfortable living in that environment and growing up with, they were my friends, you know, and it was okay. Even if they were joking, it was okay. But I realize now looking back on it, that it was probably something that I should have been offended by, but at the time I wasn't.
Well, I mean, I guess it's an amazing strategy for survival, right?
Sure,
like, or,
absolutely.
Or it just reflects, I mean, I think your comment about that they were your friends. It was the climate of what everybody was saying, I suppose, at that time.
Yeah, I felt like I was a part of, I mean, like, this is my home, you know? So I didn't feel that difference. And I think that was exactly what you're saying. The climate of the time was, you know, this is where I grew up. This is where I was born. So this is my country. These are my people, you know?
So when you kind of speak with youth now, do they bring up issues around racism or this kind of religious intolerance?
It does come up. Absolutely. It's not something they don't discuss. It's also, I think that they deal with a lot of other issues around being South Asian, like, you know, how to maneuver personal relationships or family relationships, those kinds of things. And so it all kind of comes together, you know?
Yeah. I guess it's sort of the whole life, you know, and every facet of it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That definitely makes sense. So for you then, you know, having grown up in this area, which wasn't very South Asian heavy.
Yeah.
And then now working at SIA, which is based in Queens and Elmhurst and one of the very vibrant South Asian community centers in the U.S. I mean, what does that context now feel like for you?
It's absolutely wonderful. I have to say, I think I was missing something before and I didn't know what it was. You know, I had no idea what I wanted to do when I grew up, or a lot of these kids ask me, how did you, you know, how did you get here? Did you always know? And I tell them I didn't know, but I wasn't thinking when I was geared towards youth work that I would be working in a South Asian organization, but it just comes so naturally. I feel like because I am South Asian, I can relate and so can they. And so I feel like I have an advantage there for sure.
It's amazing to hear about your own journey, Ezra. And I want to hear about some of the other youth expressions, including the poetry slam you recently did. So we're going to take a short commercial break right now. And then when we come back, we'll hear more about your poetry slam with youth.